Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Rich Toll, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. And if you haven't catched yesterday's show, we had Troy Titus Adams, a dear friend of mine, actress. She was in here, so check it out from yesterday. Really good show. Talked about a lot of things, acting in particular, what she's up to. Also talked about women and childbirth and staying fit, because Troy's into fitness just like I am. So let's get started with some headlines. And for our headlines, we're going to go across the pond here. Troy's from England, so we're going to start with the English countryside. So check it out. Beware cannibal slugs, right? There's these slugs that are called vulgaris mollusks. They originated in Spain. They're 6 inches long. Check it out. They eat dead animals, excrement, and their own species. And the only way to stop these things is to spear them. Wow. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but I sure hope it doesn't make it over here. So good luck over there in the English countryside. And speaking of the British folks over there, check it out. 3 in 4 British women would choose a man with love handles over a six pack. Wow. I mean, I'm in bad shape. I better stay over here. Sexpert Tracy Cock says that women are insecure about their weight. She said there's a couple reasons for this. The first is they're insecure about their weight. Second is that they can't live up to the expectations of a fitter man. Or maybe it's that a man who's a little more plump won't cheat. I don't know, but who's ever the folks over there with the 50 Shades of Grey, the producers and the directors, they should think twice about their leading man. Maybe they should go get Seth Rogen. All right. Now let's go a little bit closer to home. Okay. I read this morning. This took place in Pasadena, Texas. This blew my mind. I couldn't believe this. There's a 5-year-old girl who was rescued after getting locked inside a washing machine on high speed. I mean, think about that. She was in there for several minutes before one of the customers noticed something flapping inside. I mean, that's crazy. Police said they weren't sure if she had supervision. What are you talking about? She had supervision. What about these parents? Who's leaving a 5-year-old girl alone in a laundromat? I mean, that's insane, people. Talk about getting her shit together. Wow, that's got to be on top of my list, okay? We're talking about closer to home. How about in Georgia? Now, this is something that makes no sense whatsoever. There's a young boy, he's 20 years old, Daniel Ashley Pierce, and his boyfriend filmed this. I actually watched the video this morning. Now, this boy, he's a gay boy, and his mother, who's really nasty, she sounds so ignorant. First of all, she calls him a son of a bitch. They had an intervention. This woman wants to have an intervention about her son being a homosexual. So in the intervention, she says, "You're a son of a bitch. You got to move out of the house. I won't support you any longer." And she said she lives by the word of God and that he does not create anybody that way. I mean, check it out. This lady says, "I won't let people believe I condone what you do." Well, first of all, miss, it's estimated that 3.5% of the adult population, that's 9 million people, the size of the state of New Jersey, where I'm from, are either lesbian, gay, or bisexual. So what's all this bullshit about that God doesn't make you that way? Well, here's the good news, folks. This kid's got to move out of the house, got to go on his own. He received close to $50,000 in donations in one day from over 1,800 people. Way to go, Daniel. Get your own place and tell your mother to go take a hike, or you know where she could go. We won't even go there, right? All right, so in terms of our Get Your Shit Together award, you know how we give this award out every day? I did a podcast called Get Your Shit Together. There's 30 episodes. It's all about positivity, bringing positivity into your life and kind of improving your life. And you got to go check it out. There's 30 episodes. Really cool. It's on my website, richtola.com. Feel free. And here's what's trending on Facebook. All right, everybody knows this gentleman. His name is Thomas DeCarlo Calloway, also known as CeeLo Green. All right, where are we going with this? Everybody knows right away on the news. Now, CeeLo Green, you may know him from Gnarls Barkley, right? He had that one single, Crazy, which was number one in the UK, and it actually ranked number two on Billboard Hot 100. And he did that song. Remember that song, F You, Forget You? He's also formerly on The Voice. Well, let me tell you, this guy said a quote, and this is a quote from his tweet. He said, "If someone is passed out, they're not even with you consciously. People who have really been raped remember." I mean, what the hell is this guy talking about? And we're talking about a guy who pleaded no contest to a felony charge that he, quote, furnished ecstasy to a woman in 2012, right? TBS just canceled his reality show, The Good Life. I mean, here you go. Think about it. Here's a celebrity. Celebrities, unfortunately, they are put upon a pedestal and people look up to them. Right, so they have to lead by example. I talk about it all the time. So what's this guy doing? He's clearly not leading by example. He's clearly got to get his shit together when it comes to, you're out there. You're out there in the public life, and what are you doing? You're behaving, and then we're accepting and exonerating him for this behavior? Makes no sense to me. So hands down, this guy, CeeLo Green, gets today's Get Your Shit Together award. There you go. All right, so today's Wellness Wednesday. Every day we have a theme. Remember, it was Movie Monday. We critiqued the November Man with Pierce Brosnan and Luke Bracey. Yesterday was my Top 10 Tuesday. We did my Top 10 Most Frightful Pickup Lines, right? So today is Wellness Wednesday. And for today's guests, you're going to really love our guests today. Two of my dear friends, two of my favorite yoga teachers. No bullshit here. These gals, okay, we got Jessica Harper and Linda Baffa. I mean, they're awesome. Wait till you hear what they have to say. I'm into yoga, but these women are the real deal. So today, we're going to talk about what is yoga, especially for the guys out there. Most guys out there, they're like, well, when I first started yoga, the first thing my guys thought was that, to quote a term from you remember the movie Billy Elliot? To quote a term, my friends in New York thought it was a puffer. They're like, this guy's a sissy. He's taking up yoga. I started about 8 or 9 years ago, fell in love with it, changed my life. But why did it change my life? And is it all that I do? No, not whatsoever, because I work out every single day, right? I'm into the weights, no question. We'll get into that. But first of all, what is yoga? Because yoga is intimidating. It was for me when I first started. First of all, you're in the room. You don't know what to do. You don't know the language. It's this language called Sanskrit. The teachers are, it's tricky. It's tricky to go take a yoga class if you have no background whatsoever in this practice. And if you look it up in the dictionary, it says it's the union of the self with the supreme being. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. And what does that mean exactly, right? Union of that in and of itself is intimidating. Well, if you do the research, and if you go and check out my episode number 27 of my Get Your Shit Together podcast, it's called Find Your Bliss with Yoga. I really like that one. I do a good job of explaining it, detailing it through what's called the Yoga Sutras. The Yoga Sutras are they're called the Eight Limbs of Yoga. And what does that mean? Because it's all about living a meaningful and purposeful life. But these sutras, which were written they're estimated to be about 4,000 years old. Yoga in and of itself is estimated somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 year old. It's a tradition as well as a culture. But what are the sutras, right? There's eight of them. They're called the Eight Limbs of Yoga. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version here, folks, because you could learn all you want about them through the research. You could read books about it, but here you go. Number one is called the Yamas. And the Yamas means respect others. Just simple. We're going to keep it short and sweet here. Number two is the Niyamas, which is about respecting yourself. Again, you can read more detail about what they are, but again, we're going to keep it short and sweet. Number three are the Asanas, and that's what most people understand yoga to be. These postures, these exercises, the body is a temple, and the exercises are really kind of what people understand yoga to be, but again, it's really more complete than that. That's number three. Number four is pranayama. Pranayama means life force extension, and it's all about the breath. Because in yoga, what we do is we connect breath to movement. But the breath is everything about the body, right? And we'll talk more about that when the teachers come in. Number five is called pratyahara. Pratyahara is like an inward focus, right? You're kind of turning the focus inward, taking it away from the exterior and moving it inside the body. Good. Number six is called dharana. And the dharana is concentration. And again, boiling it down, it's focusing on a single point. And I remember back, I took my yoga teacher training in New York City. And I remember this one word has stuck with me. And I could spell this word. It's called yogis chitta ritta nirodhiya. And it means the ability to focus the mind on one particular object for an extended period of time. And that's what most people can't do, right? They fidget around, their mind's racing all over the place. I mean, what yoga really does is it calms, we talk about the mind, body, soul, but it really calms the mind and calms everything to where you can concentrate and focus on a single point. When I'm teaching a class, I do that, especially when you're balancing. Whenever you're balancing, you want to focus on one particular point, and you don't want to focus on something that's moving, right? Something that's still. And in meditation, we do the same. Getting to number seven, the Dhyana, the seventh sutra. And that's all about meditation. It's really awareness without focusing. For those of you who do meditate, even if it's a short time each day, that's what become, right? You become that. You're able to become aware, but you're not really focused. You're meditating. And the eighth is called samadhi, which is really a state of ecstasy. And we were taught that back in the day, whatever, thousands of years ago, I mean, that was what the goal of yoga was, is to reach the state of ecstasy where you literally could leave your body, leave the physical body. But really, without getting into all the sutras and the yamas and niyamas, what is yoga and what is yoga to me? And to me, I boil it down into five parts. It's like a hand, five fingers of the hand. Let's call this principles. And I talk about that. I live by yoga principles because the reason why yoga changed my life, it wasn't just going into a room and opening, stretching the body. A lot of people say that. What is yoga? It's stretching. I can't stretch. I can't do yoga. Well, let me give you a quick little story. Let me digress here. This was about 5 years ago. I was teaching in Hollywood. I was in North Hollywood. And if everyone knows the valley to Hollywood, you come down Cahuenga, right? You pass through the hills. And I'm driving down Cahuenga, which I think is maybe a 35 or 40 mile an hour road, but it's a pretty steep hill, so it's pretty tough to kind of stay within that speed limit. So I'm driving, and I always had this little Sky convertible, and my license plate said Yoga Sky at the time, and I get stopped by a cop. I'm like, ah, here we go. I'm going to get a ticket. My first ticket in Los Angeles. I'm like, ah. Well, this guy stops me. And he pulls me out and he says, hey, and I whip out my license and he goes, no, I want to ask you a question. He goes, you're that guy from the gym, right? I look at him, I didn't recognize him. He goes, yeah, you're that yoga teacher. Because at the time I was teaching right up the road and it was like a fishbowl and I would get 100 people in that class and it was packed. And I had probably 60, 40 women to men, which is really unusual. Most classes that I take, it's probably 90% women. So this guy says, what is yoga? He goes, I don't know what it is. You know, I got injured. The doctor told me I should take yoga, but you know, I don't know. It's all these women. I'm uncomfortable. I'm like, dude, I was totally uncomfortable when I started yoga. First of all, I tried it over 20-year period. I tried it three times. First, I tried it at the University of Pennsylvania. I was a baseball player there. And the coach brought in a yoga teacher. It was really like stretching and meditation. We're in the back laughing, making jokes. She's trying to meditate. So that didn't work. Then about 15 years later, I was in Philadelphia, and a friend of mine brought me to a hot class. Well, there's different types of hot yoga, but let's just say she brought me into a room, and I felt like a complete idiot. Again, it was probably 99% women, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was totally uncomfortable, and I didn't stick with it, so I kind of quit on it. Now, years later, you could read this in my memoir, Simply Between Millions from Wall Street to Hollywood, there's a chapter called Epiphany, because I had an epiphany. I was definitely a big party boy in New York City. I was a bad boy. I was a boozer. You know, all the bad words that he associated with it. Made the money, but played hard. And I just got fed up. I'd been reading about yoga recently. This was in 2005. And I read that yoga gives you courage. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Yoga gives you courage. And it was sort of starting to hit the scene a little bit. And next thing you know, I get out of the cab one night. It's a cold November night. And I got dropped off at right up near the museum on Fifth Avenue, right near the Guggenheim over there. We talked about that on Monday with November Man, right? I got out and I said, I'm just going to walk home. And I'm walking down the street. And next thing you know, about halfway home, it's kind of rainy, crappy night. And I see this little sign. And it's an A-frame sign that says yoga, 1 week, $20. I stood there just staring at this sign saying, I got to go in. And I went up the steps and I joined, and boom, next thing you know, 6 months later, first yoga teacher that truly connected, Jenny Winsor. Hey, shout out to Jenny from New York City. She totally changed it for me, and she made it easy for me, and I fell in love with yoga. And so, but really, what is it, right? I boil it down. Here we go, the five principles of yoga. Number one, respect. Respecting yourself and respecting others. That's the niyamas and the yamas, right? It's like a coin. There's two sides of that coin. Number two, openness and truthfulness. Openness with the universe, being open to that which is given to you or happening to you, and being truthful. Truthful with yourself, here we go, with you and with others, which was not a world that I lived in when I lived in New York City, especially all the women I dated, the cheating I did. I mean, again, I was the bad boy. Number three, clarity. Clarity of the mind. I mean, that's truly what it does. And when I see students now, when they're fidgeting in class, happens a lot. I used to fidget all the time. You need to calm that down, quiet the mind. I mean, that's the clarity. Number four is strength. I believe strong body, clear mind. That's one of my mottos. It's about the body. And that's where the physical practice comes in, because yoga makes you strong. I mean, come take one of my classes. I'm like a cross between Jack LaLanne, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Rodney Yee. I'm kind of a different type of teacher. One of my new students, I want to give a shout out to Bobby. She's probably listening right now. Bobby Sizemore has been taking my classes, and she said, Rich, you're kind of like calisthenics, isometrics, yoga moves. I mean, how do you describe you? The teachers I'm going to bring in, Linda and Jesse, you know, they're, I guess, a little more traditional than me, both really strong teachers, but I'm in that strong category. But what's happened over the years is I've incorporated sort of all the body alignment I know from the weightlifting, which is a love of mine, into yoga. And I do things a little bit unorthodox in there. And I'm not doing the chanting or anything, but, you know, it's all good. And number five is peacefulness. Peacefulness of the soul. Because what are we really trying to do is quiet that mind chatter, but settle the soul. So for me, yoga is about those five principles: respect, openness, truthfulness, clarity, strength, and peacefulness. It's not just about stretching, becoming flexible, you know, hitting on yoga babes. It's funny. There's a guy from the gym, my gym today. The guy says to me, he sees me teach. I come out of class, and he says, hey, dude, how do I get to date a yoga babe? I'm like, forget about it. You got no shot. I said, first of all, you've never even stepped foot in a yoga studio. So some woman who's kind of cleared her mind and has reached the different levels, she's not going to want you. You're just some meathead. So, hey, guys, it's not about yoga babes, okay? This is a culture. We get serious about this. Yoga's for real. So there you go. That's my definition of yoga. We're going to have these beautiful women in here soon that are going to talk about what yoga is to them. They have an amazing following. And that's going to lead me to the tip of the day. Every day, you know, we have a health and fitness tip. This one's pretty simple. And this is one that I do every day. And this is something that I'm going to recommend that everybody should do. And that's when you're having a challenge in your life. If there's something going on, you're a little frustrated, you're getting angry. I see people that get angry all the time. So here's what I do. And I do this nice and slow. Oh, the ladies are here now. Hey, I'm gonna click you on real soon. But here we go. Health and fitness tip of the day. There's two words. You want to repeat these words. And here's how you do it. It's inhale, let, exhale, go. And when I do this, I take 6 seconds to inhale. I like that number six. I used to wear that number when I played baseball for Penn. So inhale, take your time. Take a deep, long inhale. Stand up straight. We talked about posture, right, in that first episode. The first show. Oh, look at me talking episodes like it's a podcast. The first show, I got into that with posture perfect. So inhale, let, and then exhale, go. And that's another thing we do in yoga is we anchor. I call that anchoring, the inhales to the exhales. So if you're ever stressed out, you're frustrated, you're pissed off, you want to throw shit against the wall, you want to kick the dog, don't do it. Go to the breath. Inhale, let, exhale, go. And on that note, I got to introduce, this is awesome. Jessica Harper. Hey, Jess.
Hi, how are you, Rich?
Awesome. And Linda Baffa.
Hello.
Linda, you are. Well, let me start with Linda because Linda, Linda and I, we did a yoga, remember a mini yoga retreat? We used to, I don't know how many years ago, Linda, that we did a 1-day retreat where we rented a place. This is when I first met Linda, maybe about 5-6 years ago. We rented this little place out in the park, and we put together a nice group of folks, and we went for a hike. And I know Linda does a lot of retreats. So let's talk a little bit about yourself, Linda, and talk about this new retreat that you're going on. Or actually, it's your retreat.
Yeah, hi. Good to be here. Good to see you.
I'm so happy to see you.
It's been a while, yeah.
I know. And you wrote to me, and I did say I would come and see you soon, but here we go. You're here to see me.
It's all good. Here we are. So just a little bit about me. I am a yoga teacher in the South Bay of Los Angeles, Manhattan Beach, Playa Vista, Palos Verdes, kind of all over that area. Been doing it for about 7 years or so, but practicing for, 20. I love it. I love teaching yoga. It's all I want to do now. I mean, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a singer, but I teach yoga, and I want to make people feel good and happy. So,
and she makes people feel amazing. And speaking of being a singer, I will say I went to a yoga retreat several years back. I mean, it was Joshua Tree, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Linda, I didn't know this. Linda, amazing voice. I'm going to get you back in here one day, and we're going to do that. She has an amazing voice. I mean, when you hear this voice, you almost want to cry. It feels so good. She's a feel-good person, strong teacher, well-respected. I mean, Linda's awesome. So if you are in the South Bay, anybody comes to this town, you better go check her out. She's amazing. So Jesse, now Jesse has a little different background. He's a professional dancer that I know. I went to see her dance recently. And so talk a little bit about your background.
Well, hello, and good to be here, Rich. I've been dancing my whole life, and I teach yoga as well. Just recently performed in the Mixed Match Dance Festival this past weekend in Santa Monica at the Miles Playhouse, and that was really fun.
I was there.
I know you were there. You were there.
You
it was
can
good.
Dance.
It was, yeah. Oh, thanks.
And does yoga, they go hand in hand.
They do.
Dancing and yoga.
I was introduced to yoga when I was 18, when I first, years ago, when I was at...
Was that last year?
Yeah, that was last year. I wish. No, actually, I like where I'm at right now in my life. At LMU, when I was dancing there in college, I was introduced to yoga, and I fell in love right away.
That's Loyola Marymount University.
Correct.
Yeah. A friend of mine back east, her daughter just started there, and I sent her a text today saying that you're going to be on the show. So hopefully, Hannah, you're listening, hopefully.
Awesome.
Yeah, so dance. I mean, I just went to see her dance. Tell me real quick about this modern dance, because it's a little different than what I recall. It's like the bare feet. It's a little more tribal. The music is kind of... I loved it. I mean, it really touches you. But is that sort of where it's all going, or is?
You know, modern is so vague. When you say modern, a lot of people think of, contemporary, lyrical. And for me, that's what I like about it. It can be so vague. So it's, a fusion. Everything stems from ballet, ballet, jazz, tap, hip-hop, what have you. And then modern, it's this fusion. Like, I really enjoy the hyper-physical, the athleticism about it. And each choreographer or company is unique and autonomous in their own way. And, it can be very serious. It can be funny. It can be playful and light. It can be dark. There, a lot of choreographers have stories that they like to bring forth into fruition through their dance. I, on the other hand, just like to move and dance. So
you move very well.
Oh,
so
thanks. Yeah. I hope so. I've been doing it for a long time. I better.
And there's another reason why I brought these two ladies in here. Back in 2010, we taught a class together. I will say that was the best class. I'm going to tell you about this. It's the best class in my entire career of teaching yoga that I've ever taught. I started this foundation called the Boulevard Zen Foundation to teach yoga to women and children survivors of domestic violence. And we had a little benefit where we had four teachers. Mary Strong was with us as well. So it was the three of us and Mary. And it was rooftop and the glass tower, which we talked about with Jeannie. If you guys listened to the episode, the first one with Jeannie McDonald. And that glass tower, it was awesome. We had, I don't know how many people, 50 or so students, and it was so much fun teaching a class where we would sort of throw it back to each other, and Linda, and you did sing at the end as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, tell me a little bit more, Linda, because you're definitely someone, when I think of yoga with the sutras and the limbs of yoga, and in your classes too, it's very spiritual. My class is more, I would say, you know, I definitely kind of have a guy thing going on. But you're the spiritual person that I'm telling you, when you're in her class, you're a different planet.
Yeah, I definitely try to lead my classes like a moving meditation. I want people to experience the still mind, and I try to really encourage the breath as the gateway to feeling that, to feeling space, to feeling clarity. And then when we find space and clarity, we're able to really connect to what's not working in our lives, what are we holding on to, what do we need to let go of and shed, and then what do we need to receive, what do we need to bring in, what are we missing. And I think that yoga for me has been extremely therapeutic, not only physically but mentally. I always joke that I've never had to go to a therapist because I go to yoga, and it is my vision or my purpose with teaching that other people feel that as well, that they're not only getting a great workout and, you know, strengthening their body and gaining flexibility, but they're also really connecting to deeper parts of themselves where they find space and they feel the answers, they know the answers from the inside. They don't have to search outside themselves, they don't need to go to a therapist, they don't need to cover up, you know, who they are. So,
and a lot of people do come to yoga. I mean, that was my experience, that everyone, well, early on when I was in teacher training especially, mostly everyone came there because they were overcoming something. And that's the film Boulevard Zen, is why people do yoga. Also, whether it's depression, hypertension, it could be anything, right? If you're challenged with something in your life, and like you said, you don't want to hit the therapist or...
Right. You don't have to be extremely depressed or have something traumatic going on in your life. It could be as simple as, you know, when you drive, you get anxious and you get annoyed with the other drivers. And how do you handle that? You know, and how do you accept that? And how do you kind of let it go so that you can enjoy and experience a beautiful drive? And maybe you notice the mountains and it's a gorgeous day, and maybe you put on some pretty music and you start to think about your loved ones. I don't know. You know, it doesn't have to be this horrible experience, right? It doesn't have to be that way. It's a choice. And it's easier said than done, that whole happiness is a choice thing. I know that, and I've experienced that with people in my life, but... you know, you start to see that more and more when you go to yoga, when you meditate. You start to understand that there is that choice.
There is that space. Yeah. And Jess, I love your classes. You speak whatever language you're calling out numbers, and what is that? What
Sanskrit.
You're doing Sanskrit also, because I'm like, you hear it. Go ahead. What is the first? I don't know. Whatever. I don't even know. You're like calling these poses. Do it. Whatever.
Yakum.
There you go. I'm like, yakum. Like, okay, here we go.
Doi.
No, but is it the same? Now, you teach, you're teaching a little younger generation, right? Over at Loyola Marymount. Are you teaching?
I was teaching at the collegiate level. I was teaching dance at Loyola Marymount University, but I have a lot of, I was teaching adult ballet, and I have a lot of adults that take my yoga class at the Yoga Loft in the South Bay, and it's a vinyasa krama, a flow class.
And what about the little kids? I know.
Oh, I teach the little children too. Oh yeah. At the School of Dance and Music, ages, you know, 1.5 to adult, like I said earlier, and they.
I'll bring my son over to your class.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Your son's probably doing one-arm Pinchy Myerasanas already.
Yeah. Right? He does Trikonasana.
Yeah.
Downward Dog.
We do. It's funny that you mentioned that, because at the School of Dance and Music, they have camps over the summer where they have like all-in-one camps. And one of the sections is yoga. And usually we create a story, or that's what I did last summer. I created a story, and then you teach them, you know, Rikshasana tree pose, and you talk about the trees, or, you know.
They love that. I mean, they relate to that. But
it's good. But Linda said, it's like calming the mind and finding stillness and how we deal with things. You know, we live in such a fast-paced world. We forget to be present. You know, we're living in yesterday or focus future tripping on tomorrow or 3 months from now. And it's, we're missing what's so great about being present, you know. And same thing with, like, everybody, you know, I'm not saying bashing technology. I mean, technology is pretty amazing, but, you know, face paging and tweeting and everything. It's like, look at this. It's like,
those kids aren't present. No, like, that's a big focused concept, folks, being present. I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah. And I don't remember having a cell phone until I was like 21 or 22.
I had a rotary phone when I moved to New York City in 1994. Yeah,
but we had our own distractions. I mean, we still had television. True. And we still, you know, we had our own distractions. But more than just the distractions is, I think that, you know, kids are experiencing so many feelings and emotions and other energies around them all the time. And if you can learn it at an early age, yoga, the idea of, you know, finding some space and deeper breaths, even just experiencing, like, okay, wait, I could step back from the situation. I could take a deep breath. I don't have to let this person affect me. You know, those
and non-judgment, which is truly critical. If you're not judging, see, in yoga, you can't judge, and that's a lot of times with guys. The guys are kind of raised a little bit different. We're raised to think, women are raised to feel, and guys are thinking. I remember when I first started, it's like, ooh, this guy's better than me. I want to get better. It's like, it's not a competition. You know, yoga, that's what's amazing about it. It's your practice. It's about you. And that's what I preach. It's like, hey, stay within yourself, but stay present.
Yeah, right? It's the ego, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a good side of the ego and a bad side of the ego. And we want the good side. We want to feel confident. We want to feel powerful. We don't need to judge or compare or label, you know. Mm-hmm. And I often teach a lot is, you know, try to replace the bad side of your ego with love, with compassion, even in your practice. When you're holding Warrior Two and you're fighting through it and you're like, oh, the person next to me looks stronger. Oh my gosh, like, I can't hold this anymore. All that chatter. If you kind of just let that go and you say, you know what? I love my body right now. Soften. Or maybe I'm even going to step out of it a little bit so that I don't strain, you know? Those kind of moments, and they don't happen organically or right away. I mean,
no,
we're taught.
Don't. We're taught.
Creatures of the ego, for sure.
When I was Nixa DeBellis. Shout out to her. She was one of my teachers, Carl Horowitz, and we had an amazing Michael Gilbert. I had these three teachers, and I remember them saying, "I was really my shoulders like guys in their down dog. They just get really like it's." They don't understand that the energy is kind of going back. The energy is forward. And it took me 6 months to relax my shoulders. I remember they relax. And now, even in Warrior Two, when I go around a class, everybody's just, you know, all that energy is pent up. And I use the example, like, you got to imagine that your arms are outstretched and they're just resting on in water. Like, you're in the lake and your arms are kind of soft, and relax your shoulders. And it's, you know, given the visuals, I like to do that. I mean, you both do that as teachers, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Do you like that? Like, the visuals are good. That's what the kids like. But do you give a lot of visuals? A lot of teachers, well, my experience is some teachers, they're just calling a pose. Mm-hmm. But communicating how you're what you're going through, and as you said, to, like, let that sort of wash, let your thoughts wash away, mm-hmm. and stop thinking about what the person next to you is doing or looking at the person in front of you.
And then anatomically, you have a better sense when you give visuals, or, you know, you use analogies or metaphors, what have you, and obviously correcting and hands-on.
And these are both alignment. I'm very big on alignment, right? Yeah. Bksa Iyengar, rest in peace. I mean, he was about precise alignment, and that's real big in my practice. It's all the right angles, because I think if you're properly aligned, and then that's where it starts, and then you relax into the pose.
Exactly.
You soften. It's a tough word for people to understand, yoga, because you're kind of using all your muscles and say soften. But that's really what you need to do.
It's like finding the balance between doing nothing and work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an amazing, right? I mean, it's changed. The three of us, I'm sitting here, I definitely see how it's impacted lives. And for guys out there, you can't be intimidated by this. And just to throw this out, you know, getting back to my little background out there, weightlifting, I've been weightlifting since I was 16 years old, okay? You do the research. I'm 51. No bullshit. I've been working out every day. Today,
really good.
Today I do a 45-minute workout. Now, yoga is a part of my life every day, but I really go to the more meditation stretching now than I do the classwork, not mm-hmm. as much. Mm-hmm. And today, guys, here's a good one for you. Did a 45-minute workout, blasted chest, did back, triceps, shoulders. The last thing I do is my biceps. In the third set, I'm curling 100 pounds. Do that 6 times. Fourth set, do 110. So, hey, you could be a strong guy, and I weigh 150 pounds. So just make note of that. You could be this muscle guy who – I get that all the time. I got stopped. I was in Staples the other day, and this big guy from the gym, this really big guy, he says, "You're that yoga dude." They say that all the time. "You're that yoga dude." You know, could I take it? I'm like, definitely, come take my class. Like, hey, I'm going to kick your ass, but guess what? You'll get through it. But it's more than that. I said, but go to the internet and do some research. And then I did say to him, you really want to find a teacher. And that's why both of these teachers right with me today, they're amazing teachers. So if you're looking to get started and you're anywhere close to this town, you got to look up both Linda Baffa, Jessica Harper. You got to take their class because you want to find a teacher that it resonates with you. It took me all that time. Mine was Jenny. It resonated with me. And it's not because you want to go sleep with the teacher, guys. That's not going to happen. Forget about it.
I think that's a really good point. And even if you are initially coming for women or the teacher or whatever, you know, just go. And keep going. And one class is not enough. You need to go to, like, at least, I don't know, 5 or 6 within 2 weeks.
6 weeks worth,
and then
I think,
you'll start to feel the difference. And there is so many forms of yoga out there. There are so many different teachers, so many different energies, and you said it exactly. Just find the right teacher that you connect with and stick with that. It's fun, and it doesn't have to start with the idea of meditation. It doesn't have to start with chanting. It can start with a very physical gym-based yoga practice where you're just working your muscles, you're feeling your body, and all this other mumbo jumbo is just going in one ear and out the other. And that is what it's probably going to be like for about 5 years. That's how it was for me. When I was 18 to 23, I went for the physical. The idea of meditation was, what are you talking about? Yeah, and my yoga teacher was like, woo, out there. And I think I'm like that a little bit too to some people now. But
yeah, you're not
but it transforms you, yeah. You know?
You won't be ready for that out of the gate, no doubt. And this is interesting. When I started back in 2005, I guess, there was a difference between what we called, I never forget this, it was gym yoga. And then there was yoga. Yeah. I remember because I was with
this. There still is. Yeah.
There still is. You know, that's unfortunate because there's some great teachers out there teaching in the gyms.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah, me too.
We all did.
I
only teach at a gym now. I mean, I like the gym because I can suck the guys. I think what happens too, my experience at a lot of the yoga studios, the great yoga studios, I mean, there's a lot of women. There's a lot of women members. You don't get a lot of guys. Quite frankly, yoga's like a hobby. You know, if you're a golfer, you understand, right? You can't get good at golf, getting good. Again, you don't need to be good at yoga. Yoga is wherever you are, that's good. Well, but golf's the same way. You have to put your time into it. You gotta practice. It's the same thing with yoga. You can't take one class and quit. That's what Linda's saying. They'll take one class. Try a different teacher. Try Kundalini. Mm-hmm. There's different types of you. There's Ashtanga. That's a little more challenging, but, you know, Vinyasa Flow is good. Take a level 1-2 class. Don't be jumping into an advanced class. You're going to be mm-hmm. blown away. Mm-hmm. The language is Sanskrit. You take Jessica's class, well, forget about it. You'll be lost with the... No.
She's,
I love that, though. No, but, I mean, you really have to connect, and you got to give it a shot. I say you got to go 6 weeks, because a lot of guys, they'll go once a week. Mm-hmm. I started with once a week, and then next thing you know, it was twice a week. And by the time I was 6 months, guys, I was 5 times a week. I was so... You kind of get addicted to it. And we're not mm-hmm. talking just the hot yoga. A lot of people do. They, you know, there's all that they read about that. Yeah, we're not talking that. To me... I did 6. The first time when I started, that the studio, New York Yoga, had a hot and a regular studio, the hot room. So I kind of gravitated to the hot room because, you know, I was boozing. I wanted to sweat it out and this, that, and the other. But then Jenny said, you know, Rich, you really should try. She goes, because you're generating heat internally. And when you generate the heat internally, it's way different than the heat externally, which becomes a distraction. I'll tell you, it's a distraction. You're sweating. Yeah, you think you're burning out the booze you drank the night before, guys. But guess what? It's better, my opinion, to not be in the hot room. Mm-hmm. It's better to be generating it from the inside, and your mind can focus a little more on what's going on rather than focusing on sweat dripping in your eyes. I mean, that's my opinion, and it worked for me. And once I went over to there, well, aside from teaching these two, you know, when I was at New York Yoga, I used to teach two back-to-back hot classes. The room was 112 degrees, Sunday nights. Kara, if you're listening, you'll know. I used to teach a 4:30 class and a 6 o'clock class, 3 hours, and then go out and have a beer. I mean, think about that. How stupid was I? When I first started, I mean, I stopped drinking 7 years ago now, but when I first started, I didn't even understand. Because, people, it takes time for it to kind of get into the body, into the psyche. So, as Linda said, you gotta stick with it, right? Mm-hmm. Can't just give it just a whirl. Right. So, Linda, you have a retreat coming up, and the retreats are awesome.
I do. Yeah. It's the Living Yoga Retreat, which is actually the retreat Rich and I met on through Julie Rader and her school
of
yoga.
One of my favorite teachers. Well, yeah. I'm definitely going to get you.
So
I love her.
Definitely go to her class. She's amazing. She's the guru of the South Bay, in my opinion, because she's taught a lot of us teachers. And her school is called Mukti School of Yoga, and I teach through there now as well. I lead trainings and then this one retreat, which is basically 5 days of taking your yoga practice out of your bubble and really experiencing yoga for a full 5 days. Waking up early, doing meditation, doing pranayama, breathing exercises, spending time in silence where you're not reading, writing, you're just with your thoughts, you're in
it's
meditation.
An immersion.
It's an immersion. You're eating really clean food. We do a cleanse. Anyway, that is that's coming up in Santa Ynez. It's sold out this year, which is exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah, but awesome. Yeah.
But what's your website so they can...
So my website is yoganani.com. YOGANANI.com. I've been working on lyndabatha.com for about a year, but I have a 2.5-year-old and it just hasn't switched over yet. But right now that's where you can go. And then, but I do have a training coming up that starts September 12th. So
teacher
if anyone
training.
Wants to be a yoga teacher or learn more about yoga, it's going to be a great journey. It meets every other weekend. So if you work, it's great. So that's at the Green Yogi in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah. Another great studio. And I'm going to give you a quick little story about Julie. Julie's one of my, I mean, I have my top 10. I mean, I hate to say it. I have my top 10 yoga teachers. She's in the top 5 for sure. I love her. First time I met her was at the Yoga Loft, which where Jesse teaches, and it's awesome. It's like this glass right overlooking the ocean, and I mean, right Manhattan Beach Pier, and I would love the front row, and that was probably one of the best classes I've ever taken. Matt was there in the front row. Remember Linda? Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started too, for sure.
You started there.
That's
there was
the best.
Heather Archer, yep. And yeah, there was a good group of us, and so I go to this trance. It was like a trance class, and I didn't really know what that was, but I signed up for it. And I get there late because I'm coming from Hollywood, and I was whatever. I was a little not as tuned in as I am now. And I get there, and Julie like comes out. She's really sweet. She comes out of the class because everybody's like waiting, and I'm like chatting with the woman in the front desk, and she goes, "Are you going to come in now?" I just had the first time I met her. She was so sweet. Here I am being like rude because I'm late and I'm talking to this person and I'm not going in the class, but it wasn't computing. And I looked and her energy was like, I'm like, wow, like who's this woman? And I was like, oh, it was awesome. And it was the first time that I, like you really jump around. And jumping around was new to me. And I was new to this whole, I was still that Wall Street guy with the, yeah, I wasn't able to let go. Wasn't able to feel as much as I am now. There's no doubt. But, oh, no, I'll never forget that. And then I started taking her class. And I practiced primarily in the South Bay for the first 2-3 years that I was here. It's awesome. So
she's great.
She's great. There's some great teachers out there. There's no question. You know, find it. Find it for you. Find your bliss. I mean, definitely find your bliss with yoga. So just let's talk a little bit about what you're up to next. I know you're going to, you got a fellowship and a teaching position at UC Irvine.
I'm very excited and very grateful for that. Yeah, I'm going to be moving soon and starting school. Going to get my master's in dance and teaching.
And teaching yeah. dance and yoga?
I'm going to teach yoga as much as possible, either down there or, you know, I'll be up in the South Bay on the weekends and see if I can still help Susie out at the Yoga Loft and wherever I'm
Susie
needed.
Susie Neese, right?
Yeah.
She's great. Yeah,
she's another great awesome. Teacher. Yep.
Another great teacher.
Yeah, both Susie and Mary Strong. I was trying to raise money for the foundation. I both taught classes at both of them. They were great to me. They taught a class. Now there's some. Let me ask you. This is something that kind of communicates for teachers out there. Is it something that you think you do forever? I mean, I'm at the place where I just kind of teach once a week, even though I'm not the same yoginis that you folks are here. But I don't know. It's inside where I love teaching. Keeps my practice strong, and it keeps me connected to the openness and the clarity. And seriously, when I get nervous or frustrated, I don't never act out. Like, I was kind of a jerk back in the day. It was the Wall Street days, you know. I'm not like that. So staying connected. You think you stay connected forever? Is that?
I think so. I mean, I feel like it's a design for living, really, you know. And staying connected, whether you stick with the same teacher, I think there's always room for growth. So checking out other teachers. I mean, I have my favorite teacher, Vinny Marino, who teaches at the Yoga Works, and he's like universally known. I mean, he's just amazing.
He's in my top 10. He's brutal. You go to his class, you're sweating in 6 minutes.
Yeah, I fell in love. And but sometimes teaching yoga is your balance, or you have to take time out to find meditation, whether you just sit quietly with your thoughts. Or like what you're saying, you say let to yourself and then go on the exhale, you know, just finding those moments. So when you're teaching, it is a way for me to stay connected and to feel grounded and giving back and being of service to other people.
Yeah.
You know?
And the students feel it.
And
the students feel it.
Huge reward.
And they see something.
And everything's energy. So if you're in a place of all of those things that don't serve you, like anxiety, resentment, negativity, judgment, all of those things, it's like you're blasting out that negativity and you're saying F you to your highest best self. So when you're teaching everything, it's like you're sending out all this positive energy, and it reinforces that, like what we were talking about earlier. You have to practice it. It's not just like, oh, I took a yoga class and now I'm enlightened and I'm awesome.
And when you're teaching yoga, you're often teaching exactly what you need to hear. So actually, there's been times of deep struggle in my life where I've had to go teach yoga, and I'm thinking, how can I teach yoga to these people? I'm so sad right now. I'm so upset or whatever. And then it enlightens me as a teacher because I'm filled with that energy in the room, and I'm projecting. And I literally, Julie told me this at one point, you are not, you are more of a guide. You are a vessel. The yoga is coming through you as a vessel. And I really believe that. And even when I show up and I have no plan of what I'm going to teach, and I'm just all over the place mentally before, I sit down, we're starting in seated meditation. I need it. You need it. We all need it. We're starting with stillness. And then the yoga just flows through me. And I think that I need to, well, teaching is an evolution. If you love yoga, you will want to be a teacher. You will want to share this with others, whether you teach group classes, privates, or just talk about yoga to people that you love. You know, you're a teacher. And I wrote a blog on that. You're always going to want to share it because it's so profound. It's changed your life.
No doubt. Yeah. And getting to the light passing through, that's another BKS Iyengar. I mean, he talks about a diamond, how tough a diamond is, but light passes through. So that's awesome. I mean, it happened to me last night. I taught a class last night. I was so tired. You know, this is a new show. You folks know. I mean, it's a little, there's some nerves going on, and there's a lot going on, and I was so tired. I was probably the most tired I've been. I'm like, oh, I got to go teach. But when I get done teaching, I'm so invigorated.
It's
really interesting.
And oftentimes when you teach something that you need to hear, someone else needs to hear it too. That's why it's this channel of energy. You're really, you know, it's all kind of linked together. And I don't know.
It's a great practice. I will say it's a great practice. It changes lives. Changed my life.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. It's got me to get to Hollywood and pursue this dream. Been at it now for 8 years, you know. So, hey. It's the way it goes. So if you're out there, you're a little intimidated by it, don't be intimidated. Guys, especially, get your butt in the class. Try it. Find a teacher that you like. Definitely pick, if you around the South Bay, you got to go check out these studios we're talking about. So, ladies, every day now we're going to do what I call the Fast Five. Not to jump out of yoga, but there's you have to run, Linda. Are you okay?
Oh, I didn't know. I'm okay.
Okay, good. We're going to go. I'm just going to ask you. There's five questions. The Fast Five. So, Jess, you're going to answer first, and you no, they're real simple. It's A or B. It's A or B. You're just going to answer.
No.
They're real simple. Don't be looking at them.
Don't be looking at them.
Real quick. Okay, number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate.
Ooh, both chocolate.
I didn't know if I was answering at the same time. Okay.
Answer right
yeah,
after.
Chocolate.
Let her go
100%.
100%
oh, yeah.
chocolate.
Every day, pretty much chocolate.
Mm-hmm. We're getting mostly chocolate.
I mean,
chocolate.
I like vanilla, but
you got to choose one or the other. Number two, Tropical Island or New York City?
Tropical Island.
Oh, of course. They're yoga. Right? Forget about it. I would choose New York City, I have to say. L.A. is my first love now. But
I'm all good.
I love New York, but I need nature and
space. Me too. What I do is I go to Central Park.
Serenity.
Yeah.
You got it. Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Wild West.
I'm going to go with ancient Rome just because I just went to Italy and went to Rome, and it's magical.
Rome is magical.
Although, can I have modern Rome because I like all the restaurants? And
no.
It's a, darn.
Kind of like L.A.
So Mindy, my friend Mindy was my ex-spin partner back in New York City. She's been living in Rome for quite some time. I don't know, Mindy. What do you
think?
All
right. Wild West then, actually, because I like horses.
Yeah, we got to go to the West.
Again, so, okay.
All right, number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Action thriller.
Tearjerker.
Oh, there you go. We got a tearjerker. Now, I
want to feel emotions and, just drama.
Jess is like, give me the rush. I'm a dancer. Give me the rush.
I like the scary.
This is the difference between our classes right here.
Yeah, I know.
Probably.
All right. Number five is the last one here. Candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Picnic in the park.
Picnic in the park.
Got to do it. I mean, look, we're talking nature here,
absolutely.
Right? They're not tree huggers, though, guys. These
I'll
ladies.
Hug a tree.
You'll hug a tree? But you don't look like a tree hugger. You look like you just stepped off of
I showered this morning.
Yeah, she looks cute for a radio show.
This is the most I can do.
Well, I mean, this was awesome. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you
Jessica,
so much.
For coming in. Linda,
this was fun.
It was awesome. So. You know, so that's what do you think, folks? I mean, you learned anything about yoga, maybe tempting to go give it a shot, do that, and I think it'll change your life. It did for us here, the three of us here.
Indeed.
So that's our show for today. I'm Rich Tola, and remember, miracles do happen, but hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.